May I have your permission to speak a little bit this evening? Well, I would appreciate your prayers and courtesy of your attention for a little while. I love this holy way. And I thank the Lord often that He's had mercy on me and given me the opportunity to live my life among this people, studying His Word. Think about Don. He and I shared so many experiences. Went into CO work. KU Medical Center in Kansas City. I was close to the end of my time there when Don came up and he got my job. He took the position that I was vacating. I got to train him. We often had conversations about the people we've known there and sometimes wondered about what's become of their lives since. And then I moved from there to Oklahoma and went to work at the Daily Oklahoman and worked there total of 7 years, and Don followed me on that job too. And we got to know the same people. And now the trail has led to this, and neither one of us are rich or famous. But I'm glad to still be in association with him and those like him. And I don't feel worthy that the Lord would have mercy on me and help me to understand and have opportunity to seek to deliver His Word. I don't feel worthy of that, but I'm grateful. Paul said, I thank God that He counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. And that's something for the Lord to be willing to trust us to handle His Word. And I think sometimes need prayer more than the other ministers because they're less able. But enough of that. Ninth chapter of Mark. Care to turn there with me, please? In the chronology of Mark's gospel, this event takes place just after the Mount of Transfiguration. The Mount of Transfiguration experience involving Jesus, Peter, James, and John came near the end of his ministry. Part of the purpose of the experience the Lord had on the Mount of Transfiguration, as I understand it, is that two of the mighty men of God who'd had experience in leading Israel came down and spoke with him about what he could expect in dealing with them. It's Moses and Elias. Moses knew what a stiff-necked folk the Israelites were, and Elias, of course. And that was obviously not too long before he fulfilled that part of his ministry. So he came down from the mountain. Three of his apostles went up with him. Nine stayed below. Let me read you then what happened. Mark 9:14, beginning. When he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. So there's a crowd. Straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? Or in my language, what's all this about? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on him, on us, and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. You've heard that story before, haven't you? But it's got an awfully lot in it. So let's see what we can do with it this evening. I'm sure it's too profound and too lengthy for me to get everything. We'd like to touch it a little bit by the Lord's help. Jesus came down from the mountain. 9 apostles here. He had sent them prior to this, if I understand the chronology of the scriptures correctly, out into the adjoining villages to preach. And he had given them power to heal the sick and to cast out spirits and to preach the gospel. Instructions on how they were to carry it out, what they were to do. Now he comes down, absent one day. He's just gone one day. And already they've got into a problem that they can't solve and don't know what to do with it. I suppose anybody that's ever been a supervisor know what that feels like. You get the guys all lined out and you think you've got them so they can't possibly get them wrong. I remember years ago, I had a helper and I tried to teach him how to case a door. Just put the casing around a door. And it's not hard. And it's basic to carpentry. And if you're ever going to learn to carpenter, you got to learn to do a lot of it. And left him and went to another town to check on some other business. And I came back and he was standing right where I left him, staring at that door casing and hadn't put up a stick of it. He couldn't figure out how to do it. Well, I have to think that's a little bit the way the Lord felt in coming back to his apostles. He had given them some instructions of what to do about these things. And there is something in what the Lord says. I wouldn't really, when we think about what all is going on here, necessarily call it a rebuke. But it's got some pain in what the Lord said. He wasn't pleased that this had happened this way. Wouldn't you agree with that? With what he said? We'll leave out the people and the scribes. One of the multitude answered him and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And we have a description here of what this spirit does. Just as an aside to the primary thoughts I have this evening, I'm of the opinion that there is not enough biological information here to ascribe a physical cause to what was happening with this child. I've heard some folks say that this is epilepsy, for instance. The word epilepsy is not in the Bible. And there are things besides epilepsy that can cause all of these symptoms. In any case, whatever it was, this is attributed in the scriptures to the works of the devil. And I am inclined to look at it from that standpoint. That's what's going on. Multitude answered and said, my son is dumb. Wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. Pineth away means that he was deteriorating. He was sickly. He was pale. And spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And the Lord answered, but I think the scripture says he answered him, but I have to think, in a multitude like this, The Lord was speaking to more than just this man. The disciples were there too. And the crowd was there. And they all wanted to understand, why is this taking place as it is? And the Lord's answer, he gave them some answer. He told them the reasons for it. But it's like this touched him so deeply, he burst forth an exclamation showing his passion before he started to tell them what the reason was. It hurt him, in other words. And this is what he said. O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Now here's how I look at that. Lord help us this evening. Put yourself in his shoes for a little bit, if you would. Once in a while in the Gospels, there are some passages that give us a little window into how Jesus really felt about things. And this is one of them. He was a Son of God. He was God. He came into this world with a heart full of love and compassion. Many a thing to teach. Much instruction. He understood the whole Bible. He understood the whole plan of God. And he came on purpose to communicate it to as many people as possible. He wanted everybody to get it. But there were obstacles. I've heard folks say sometimes, if God calls you to do something, he makes everything go like clockwork. All the pieces fit in place. That's true if humans are clocks. But if they are people and they can make choices, they can interfere with what God wants to do. That's what the Lord is saying in this case. Here I've come to give you love and to give you wisdom and understanding. When it says faithless, that's saying I can't find a way into your heart far enough to give you the things that I really want to give you. I know that there's been a blessing while I've been with you, but there's only just a little while longer that I have to teach you. You've seen me walking on the water. You've seen me feed the multitudes. You've seen me do the other things that I've done. There's just a little while left, and I'm leaving here. And all this gospel is going to be committed into your hands, and I leave you for one day, and already you run into a problem that you don't know what to do with. What are you going to do when you have the whole world at your hands and the responsibility of carrying the gospel to them? And you see, that unveils so many things. The Lord was willing to teach them anything and listen to, and every bit of it the truth. But there's always that condition. You've got to be willing to do it. Remember how he said it would be? Some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. And at the very time when the Lord said that, he knew he was talking to people who never would get more than 30-fold of it. And this was the chance, more than of a lifetime, of the life of the world, you could say. The very Son of God here. Nobody would ever teach the gospel better than he would. And he knew that there were people right there listening to it who would never get more than 30% of what he had to say. And if the Lord couldn't get more than that to him, I know I can't. And I'm pretty sure you can't. People have to open their hearts to this thing. There were among the 12, could I say, each all with different personalities, but it seemed to me like some tried harder than others did to really get what the Lord was trying to get across to them. And isn't that a choice? He chose them. But it's up to each one of them what they do with that choice. He didn't force them to learn it. How could he? Folks, there's no limit to what the Lord will give us if we're willing to open our hearts to him. Amen. That's the truth. Much as we're willing to open up to the Lord, he wants to give us. He came with a heart full of love. He came understanding the gifts of healing, of miracles, of power over spirits. He came intending to give it to these very men. He had told them that's what you're going out to face, and they knew it, and they'd seen him using it. And now they come up against the obstacle, and somewhere along the way they missed it. One day apart from him, they're already in over their heads. O faithless generation, then the Lord said, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? I don't know how this looks to you, but it seems to me like the Lord was saying, I'd kind of like this to be over with. I know I've got to be crucified, and it's not much longer. I can't leave here until you fellows get this. I've got to make you understand it. My brother is he's a printer. He works for Goss Printing, and he's worked with them long enough so that he's a figure in their company. Anywhere they put in a new press, and those presses are a city block long, and they print the inserts that you see in the Sunday papers, advertising, I don't know, Walmart, things like that, Macy's, and all kinds of things, but it's all high-speed, mostly newspaper type. So he's been to Australia, and he's been to Turkey, and he's been to France. Anybody buys one of these presses, I send him over there. His job is to supervise getting it set up and make sure it's working. And he can't go home till the local crew understand it. He was telling me the other day about one they were putting in. He said, the guys are real smart. They pick it up, but the problem is they're Chinese. And he said, everything I say to them's got to go through a translator. And half the time I can't understand them and they can't understand me. So he's got to stay there till they get it figured out. Sometimes it's places he doesn't want to go. Not this last winter, he had one up in Canada, as cold as it could be up there. He can't come home until they understand what they're doing. And had one in Ontario, California. Send him out there, and those printers out there, if I'm not mistaken about that being the group, well, they're all union guys. And it's a lot harder to work with them because when their time comes, they stop. It doesn't make any difference what he's in the middle of. And every time they get their press goofed up and can't make it run right, then they send and get Wilson out here. He'll fix this thing and make it do what it's supposed to. So he got to drop what he's doing and go out there to California and stay with them till they get it sorted out. And he's glad when they understand it. This passage of Scripture makes me think of that. You understand the comparison? How long do I have to stay here and teach you this? I would like to get this next scene over with. I know I've got to be crucified, then I'm done. Well, maybe that's, I know the Lord loved being here with us. But look at what he said. O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? As if to say, I've got so much to teach you, and I can't get you to open your hearts to receive it. And I got to keep staying here and giving it to you a little morsel at a time, a little morsel at a time. How long am I going to suffer? How long do I have to tolerate things being like that? Then he said, bring him to me. And they brought him. And when he saw him, the boy went through the attack of the devil. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. How long is it ago? This is the Lord. Did he have to ask that question? He knew. Didn't he know? Didn't he know? Didn't he know who the widow was that brought her mite in the temple? Didn't he know when the scribes and Pharisees were trying to trick him? Did he have to ask that question? Why did he ask that question? Well, here again, this is my thinking concerning it. I think along with the work that the Lord intended to do, he gave this father a chance to relieve his heart. And I think that's an important part of ministry as well. I think a big part of ministry just consists in being willing to listen to people. A lot of folks would like to have somebody they could talk to about what they're feeling. Look what the man said. How long ago? All he had to do was answer him a time. 4 years ago. Or whatever it was. His answer was, as a child. That's all he had to say. That's what the question was. But it's like the Lord unscrewed the lid. And when the man started talking about the misery that had so disrupted his home, he couldn't stop. Oft times it has cast him into the waters to destroy him, and of a child, and has cast him into the fire. Have compassion on us and help us. And he said to the Lord, if thou canst do anything. And the Lord turned that around, and I'm glad he did. There's a what if involved, all right. The man said, if you can do it. But the question's not whether or not the Lord can do it. Of course the Lord can do it. He has the power. The question is, can you believe it? And folks, that is still the question that faces us today. Now think about the Lord this way. We sing a song sometimes in our hymnal that says, he that goeth forth with weeping, bearing seeds to hill and plain, and to come back again with a victory. What's hard is when you go out and you come back still carrying your seeds, and you're weeping over that. That's what the Lord was weeping over here. He was trying to sow something in these people's hearts, and it was hard for them to get it. This man, after having seen what that the Lord opened to him, came and told the Lord more than the Lord asked him about it. And then he went on to say, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us. But I remark again, that's a wrong if. And he got it. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe. And look what that opens to us. All things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears. And I think he was as sincere as a man can be when he said this. Lord, I believe. Reaching high as he could. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that? Have you ever been in trouble so great that you're absolutely desperate to get to the Lord? And you make the highest reach toward him that you know how to reach. You know what that would mean? It means some serious fasting and praying. It would mean some real careful self-examination. Put yourself in this man's shoes. His son is probably going to die. And he loves this boy, and he's doing everything he can to help him, but he can't control him. It's tearing him up, and it's tearing his wife up. It's not going to fulfill the dreams that he had for the boy. He's desperate. Some people are just put him in an institution somewhere. But there are some people who would get serious enough, get down low before the Lord. And you know there's a place to do that. You're really desperate before the Lord, and you lay everything on your side you can think of. Open your heart. Lord, anything you see in me that you want to change. People can get broken. There was a man, I was told this story, I can't prove it. There's a man in Louisiana, had a saint for a wife, lived with her a long time. She treated him as good as she could. He was mean to her, despised her religion, despised the church. Spoke against people hard. She died. It changed him. The stone in his heart was broken. There is a place like that. He changed so much, the very people that he had despised. He'd come out to meet him and sit on the back seat. And when he'd have an opportunity, he'd get up and weep. And he'd say, God gave me a saint and I didn't realize it. He'd say, I'm not worthy to sit in your meeting. He said, I am so sorry that I criticized you folks. He meant that. His life proved it over time that he was serious about it. You know, the one thing the Savior cannot stand up against is a cry for help from a sincere heart. That'll touch him when nothing else can. People can have done serious things that were wrong. Remember Ahab? Ahab got Naboth killed and took his vineyard. But when he got low, the Lord had mercy on him. Folks, have you ever been so desperate for God to help you that you just lay everything aside? Every conflict with anybody. The Lord doesn't like conflicts. Every bad feeling you have against anybody. Every right to protect yourself. Just lay it all out, desperate. Lord, I'll not hold anything back. You can put your finger on anything you want to, but I've got to have some help. That'll touch God. And couple it with some fasting and some praying, I believe in prayers that get answered. I believe there is a way in whatever difficulty we're facing to pray until we bring God down and we get an answer from Him that we can stand on. Brother Daniel had to fast for 3 weeks to get it, but he got it. And when he got it, it astonished him. Old Father Abraham got it around an altar praying for his children, and there was a darkness that came over him, and he had to chase the buzzards away from his sacrifice, but he got it. You ever hear folks talk any more about praying through? We all pray, I know you do, and I do too, but there's a difference in praying and praying through. Some of you folks know what that is. That means you change things. Something happened. You touch the Lord, and you know it's different. There is such a place, and it comes from getting real low and opening ourselves fully to the Lord and laying down every conflict we can think of to lay down and being real broken before Him and His people, taking the humble way. God's touched by that sort of thing. This man cried to the Lord, "Thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." I guess that's been my prayer through the years. God's helped me to have some faith. I believe I could testify that. But I prayed, "Lord, I can see so much more I could have done. I look at myself often." Do you ever do this? I look at myself and say, "I wish I'd been a better man and understood more about it, learned faster, been more willing to listen to it." Look at what he brought. A heart full of love, a willingness to teach. These fellows couldn't get it because their hearts were closed too much. I'm a person too. And the Lord's trying to get some things to me. And sometimes I think I've been too slow to hear, too slow to learn. And I say, "Lord, help us. I want to believe you. I really do. Help my unbelief." The Lord took pity on this man and he helped his unbelief, didn't he? This man's prayer, according to what Jesus said, opened the channel for him to have the power that he had over this spirit. Well, I don't know that he couldn't have done it without that, because he had power over spirits. But I know what the Lord told him. "If thou canst believe, not only this then, all things are possible. So I heal this boy, and I cast the devils out." And the Lord made it definitive. And I have to think this child wasn't very able to protect himself against the devil. So he not only cast him out, he forbade him to come back. But he still got a life to live. And there are going to be other things that happen during this life. And so the Lord and showed him the channel. Not only am I going to do something to help this boy, I give you a promise, whatever you need the rest of your life. Faith is the key. It's like we heard this morning. It's the promise that opens the door. Faith. "Lord, help thou mine unbelief. I promise to help your unbelief." Here's something to do it with. Remember that day? Next time you're in a battle, next time when your wife is sick and maybe her final illness, or when your debts get the better of you, or when people start saying bad things about you and you're troubled because of it. Remember this day. Remember the time you came to me and your boy was in trouble. And remember what happened when you got low and when you reached out to me by faith. Something changed. Oh, folks, the blessing of God is not only for today. It's for down the whole journey. The whole journey of life. "Help thou mine unbelief." And the Lord said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And Jesus saw that the people came running together. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind cometh forth, by nothing but by prayer and fasting." I wish to speak about that a bit this evening. I remember being called upon to deal with someone who was devil-possessed. And we agreed we were going to fast and pray for this, because that's what the Bible said. And so we fasted and we prayed, and the occasion came, and we tried to deal with the man, and we got to a certain point, and we were not successful. So I was distressed. Well, wouldn't you be? Praying, seeking the Lord. And the Lord helped me to understand, I believe it still today, fasting and praying is not just a form. Denying yourself food, what does that mean if the Lord doesn't visit you? The idea of fasting and praying is to get close enough to the Lord for Him to reveal to you where the spirits are and how to approach it, what to do. See, we made a critical mistake with this man. We tried to deal with him in front of a congregation, which was including members of his family. We did real well until he began to get violent. We needed to grab him and hold him. The spirits were turning loose of him. You see what this said? And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead. We tried to restrain him, but his family members there began to sympathize with him. And that gave the devil power. I didn't understand that. But after I'd been through it once, I knew then why the Lord wanted us to fast and pray, because he would have showed us that. And I'll tell you something else about dealing with devils, which I have learned. The devil knows all of your weaknesses. He knows all of your failures. And if we are called upon, and it takes anointing, it takes, I should say, in some cases, I think there are some folks who can't get delivered without the ministry being involved in it. When they begin to deal with someone and the devil is being forced to turn loose of what his hold has been, he'll start dealing with the ministers. He knows what your weaknesses are. He knows what your failures are. If you can be forced into retaliation, he'll stir your resentment. If you can, if you've been dealing unfairly with somebody, the devil knows where that is. Remember what he said about the seven sons of Sceva? The devils in that man were feeling out toward those and seeing if there's any God in them that can resist him. And that's what he's looking for. I felt against Paul. I know what's in Paul. I know I can't do anything with that. And I have felt against Christ, and I know I can't do it, but who are you? And it's not just words. It didn't mean what are your names. It means what's your spirit? What power have you got in you? What holy lives have you been living that broke my power? And he felt and he felt, and there's nothing there, and there's nothing to stop him. And he turned loose on them. Be a marvel if some of those boys didn't get devil possessed too, from dealing in a situation like that. That's what the fasting is for, so you understand. So that if there's been something where you've had a failure, the Lord can put his finger on that and you can get it under the blood. So there's power there to break what the devil's got. Because without it, you're going to wind up where these apostles did and not be effective in what you're trying to do. You understand what I'm trying to say? You understand part of what I'm trying to say? Lord, help us this evening. Dealing with devils is serious business. It doesn't belong to folks who don't have a very powerful experience with the Lord, because the devil knows where your weakness is. May I go so far as to say it this way? The devil has a spirit that thinks just like you do. And he'll put him on your shoulder and whisper in your ear, and it sounds so close to the way you think and feel about things that you'll think it's your own heart talking to you if you don't have the Lord there to help you know the difference. It's serious to stir up the devil. You need to know what you're doing to do it. I mind a minister brother years ago who just spoke defiance against the devil. In the setting where he did it. I'm not afraid of him, he said. Let him attack me. Let him do what is worst. He didn't live very long after that. The scripture said in the book of Jude, the angel durst not bring a railing accusation against the devil he disputed over the body of Moses. We said the Lord rebuked thee. Have you thought about that one before? You know what that's talking about. Moses is gone. The body, well, that isn't really the point. But when Moses left this world, everything that belonged to the devil, his heir to claim it. There were some things. Moses had smitten the rock in frustration. Moses had made a mistake or two along the way, and when he died, the devil was there to say, that's mine. I can prove it. Because when I touched it, it moved. I had the power over it. We ought to be careful what we allow in our folks, in our lives, folks. We're going to face God with it someday. And if it's something that when the devil touches it, it moves, he'll be there to say it's mine. And the devil couldn't say, or the angel couldn't say, oh no, absolutely not. You can't touch this man. He was so pure and innocent. All he could say was, in my language, the blood of Jesus Christ is against you. That's what got Moses past the barrier, and that's what will get you and me past the barrier. And when we come to deal with devils, that's what we need to have on hands to be able to carry out the functions that the Lord wants us to do. Lord, help our unbelief. Help us to see it. And folks who are newly saved and weak in the gospel have no business trying to get into those kind of places, because the devil will find somewhere, and it's dangerous for you. The devil can be stirred up. You remember what God asked the devil, what have you been doing in Job's case? And he said, I'm going up and down through the earth. What, this terra firma? You think he started here in Missouri and drilled a hole through to China and looking for something along? Do you think that's what he meant? This is the earth he's talking about. I've been checking people, going up and down in the earth and through it, sifting people's lives, seeing where people are opening themselves to spirits from me, doing what I can to defile and to contaminate. Somebody says one time, the devil doesn't work as hard on folks who are in sin as he does those who are saved. I don't believe that. I think he'd kill every one of us just as fast as he could. I think if you get in sin, his next job is to get you in deeper and deeper and deeper. And there's no depth that you can get into that causes him to start backing off. He hates every one of us, and he'll kill every one of us that he can. And he is going through the earth. Could the earth, you and me, right here tonight, checking our spirits. Where are we? And we need sometimes, when we come up against some of those forces, to do some praying and fasting, to be able to tell the Lord, I've esteemed your word more than my necessary food. We're coming up against that in just a little while at our Monarch Springs National Camp meeting. You think the devil will be there? I promise he'll be there. And so what are we doing? But the fasting and praying is not just to make you hungry. It's to get something from the Lord. And isn't that what we want, may I say, our ministers to do? I mind the old ministers standing up in the pulpit and talking about what it's like for some young minister to be in their cabin or out in the woods somewhere praying all night long, praying down a Holy Ghost message. Well, did you want to hear the preacher speak, or do you want to hear the Lord? And that's where it comes from when we get it from the Lord, isn't it? It's that time spent with him. It's that sacrifice. It's that calling on his name. It's praying down victory over the spirits of the devil. And that's what the Lord was trying to get these brethren to see. People came running together. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, enter him no more. And did the spirit just meekly surrender? Well, here I go. Jesus said, I have to go. There's nothing left to do but just come creeping out. Is that what he did? He resisted as far and as long as he could. And I have in my mind, he would have killed this boy if he could have. And they thought he was dead. And when we deal with the devil, folks, he doesn't like it any better than that. And we can look for, when the devil gets his territory being trampled on, you can look for him to stir and cry and do everything that he can, to pull every string he can, to hurt everyone he can. And when that happens, don't be afraid. Be steady. Because after a while, the Lord will lift you up. And he arose. And when he's come into his house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So, what is there in the world that won't yield to prayer and fasting? You just can't get a hold of God for that. You see, in the persecutions, Peter in prison. Lawyers couldn't get him out. Soldiers couldn't get him out. The church facing persecution is allowed of God one weapon, and that is prayer. But what is there that will not yield to the saints' prayer and fasting? Friends, I don't think there's anything. Oh, I know we can't force people to get saved by it. That isn't the point. There isn't any battle we have to face to which we cannot get an answer through prayer and fasting. I don't believe in going through battles with sickness, battles with devils, without getting something from the Lord. We may get sometimes a message, and the Lord got this too. There's nothing you can do. He stood and wept over the city, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How oft? But that's an answer. Remember Paul's thorn in the flesh that he had, for which he said, I besought the Lord thrice, meaning to me. He prayed till he prayed through. I want to be delivered from this. And he didn't get away from the pain of it. But he said, the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. You got patience enough for me to touch that a little bit before we shut the service down this evening? Everybody's got their idea about what the thorn in the flesh was. I have this one. I got it from Brother Chandler. I heard him preach on this and I've never forgotten it. Some say it was affliction. Some say it was his eyesight. My thinking about it is, the way it's mentioned in the scriptures, is that it's his weakness. Everybody's got a weakness. Brother Chandler said, my weakness is loving to praise of men. He just stood there in the pulpit and told us that. He said it's not wrong to love the praise of men. He said it's wrong to do wrong to get the praise of men. I'll never forget what he said. He said, I got down after a message and a sister came to me and said, that was a wonderful message. And she said, sister, I know that. The devil told me that before I got out of the pulpit. He said, that's my weakness. He said, any time I get unspiritual, my weakness will rise up on me. And I'll fail the Lord somewhere. We have some battles over which we can pray victory and it lasts. I'm not tempted with cigarettes. I haven't been for a long time. We have some weaknesses, and it's different with every one of us, that the only way to overcome it is to pray down grace every day. There's a thorn in the flesh, he said. It's a messenger of Satan. It's the means the devil has to remind me that I'm still human. And all that's keeping me is the grace of God. And any time I start to get away from the grace of God, it's going to jab me somewhere. And so I prayed, Lord, I don't want to have any weakness. You remember how he said he got that thorn? Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation. He'd been looking over into heaven. Well, if you want to see the revelations, you're liable to have the thorn too, aren't you? And he said, to keep me humble in my language, the Lord sent me a thorn, or he allowed the devil to send me a thorn, the messenger of Satan, to tempt me or provoke me, cause me to remember who I am. And I prayed through about it. And the Lord told me, thy grace is sufficient. Didn't get rid of his thorn, but he got an answer for it that he was able to carry clear to the end of his life. Because Paul's final testimony was, when he was leaving this world, I have kept the faith. Now that's a testimony, isn't it, folks? That's the way I'd like to leave here too. What the Lord gave me, I'll try to do it by his grace. Isn't that what this man got in trouble for? Help thou mine unbelief. Paul said, I kept it. I've kept it, and now I'm ready to be offered. Oh, I had the thorn, and it hurt me, and it tempted me, but I prayed down victory over it, and it didn't destroy me. And now I'm leaving here. Thank God for what he gave me. Victory over the flesh. It doesn't happen when you don't pray through about things. There are some things that nobody can pray through for you. You can't pray through for somebody else's weakness. They got to do it themselves, and some people never will. But if you will, there is grace. And that grace has to be prayed down every day. I'll rephrase that this way. All of us who are kept by the power of God. If we begin to get unspiritual, whatever our weakness is, will be the first thing that shows up. Some people have a weakness to be avaricious, greedy for money. Some people have a weakness to hold grudges. Some people have a weakness to be intemperate. All of us have got something. And as soon as we start getting unspiritual, that's what will start showing up. The greedy man will start getting greedy. The grudge holder will start getting in a quarrel with somebody. We are kept by the grace of God through prayer and fasting. This kind goeth not out, the Lord said, but by prayer and can come forth, he said, by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Well, I think that's good for all of us to do some fasting. I remember when I was young in the ministry, and I pass this along to you too, my friends, because I love you. I want to go to heaven with you. The old ministers told me, if you want to be anointed, you're going to have to do some fasting. And what they meant by that was, I know very well what they meant, laying aside everything, food and drink and everything, for the whole day, sometimes longer. Some of them talked about fasting longer than that, and I've done some. They said the Lord requires that. Brother Murphy Allen explained some of that to me. Brother Souter explained some of that to me. So you go along too long without fasting, your message will get dry. The Lord requires that. I remember Brother Allen saying, he said, I get a picture in my mind of a hand over my head with a bottle of oil in it, and the Lord pouring it out on my head every once in a while. And he said, I got kind of dry. I didn't feel any oil for a while. Did he practice his preaching skills? Go to language school? Is that going to help him? Not at all. It's the fasting. It's the prayer. It's getting broken and low before the Lord. That changes things, doesn't it? Isn't that what we love too? That's what feeds us and blesses us. Thank you for the courtesy of your attention this evening, folks. May the Lord bless us that we understand His word, that we in our generation not give Him cause to say, how long shall I suffer you? I don't want Him to have to suffer me at all. I want to have a heart open to Him. Listen to what He has to say. Learn at His feet. Amen.